Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to episode 136 of the Talking Hockey Podcast. It's just two of us today because we're the only two who we put Talking Hockey on our back here. Eric is a Florida man, we think. He was at a Florida Panthers game this week, wasn't he?
He was just at a Florida Panthers game last night.
Yeah, so we usually do our podcasts on Wednesdays for those who listen. And we message every, you know, Wednesday, Tuesday night or Wednesday morning being like, hey, you know, we're going to meet after work at like 7 or 7:30. And Eric hasn't looked at the chat in 2 days. So
welcome back, everyone, to the Talking Hockey Podcast. It's your favorite producer, Luke, here to remind you to follow and subscribe on whatever streaming service you use. Leave a review on Apple, visit our website, talkinghockeypodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram at Talking Hockey for daily content. Now, let's get into today's episode with your favorite group of guys, Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin.
He's in Florida, we think, like I said, and we haven't seen him in a long time. Luke said he would be here, and then an hour ago said, never mind, I won't be here.
Yeah.
Well, you just got us two today.
And big Luke energy.
Luke's just, Luke just doesn't want to be here. So, you know, we'll do our best to get as much content as we can because, you know, usually Eric's the one who comes prepared and has a whole bunch of ideas. So we came up with kind of our looking at the post-trade deadline. There was really nothing exciting on the trade deadline, to me at least, right?
It was the most exciting
lead up
in history, recent history.
And then, who was left to be traded at that point?
Exactly. And then the biggest news was, stuff that didn't happen, James Harden, Reamstite, that sort of stuff.
He was supposed to be traded to Detroit, and then they're like, never mind, I don't know.
That whole deal fell through.
The whole deal fell apart. And it was weird that Detroit was the one who was trying to get him anyway, because Detroit sold again, and then tried to get Van Riemsdyk.
And so, Detroit is still going in the wrong direction.
Yeah. So, I don't know what to say. Leafs didn't do anything trade deadline, so I wasn't really paying attention. I was waiting all day for a trade to happen, but nothing came. To those who listened last week, after the Sandin trade, the Leafs had a first round pick and nine defensemen, and you're like, all right, something's got to happen here. And then they didn't do anything. And yesterday, Sam Lafferty was their second line center because of injuries.
Yeah, but that all happened after.
When you have
huge depth at center, you're not expecting your fourth line center to play second line minutes.
I don't know what to tell you, man. But anyway, we're going to give our post-trade deadline, I guess, what was it, winners and losers and something.
Winners and losers and way too early winners and losers, because you can't really tell a trade deadline winners and losers until pretty much after the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And then again,
Stanley Cup favorites
purely based on the trade deadline.
Yeah.
On stuff they did or didn't do.
I think a loser for sure is Philadelphia, because they didn't do anything, and they're brutal, right?
It's that poor whole JVR management, as Eric likes to talk about. It's very poor asset management, because what, you're going to sign JVR after this year? Or what?
No, they're probably not. Exactly. JVR has no, I mean, unless it's a really, really cheap deal. I mean, at this point in his career, JVR's coming to the end. He's not the power play threat he once was. So I can see why. I mean, he had a pretty high cap hit of just off the top of my head. I feel like it's relatively high.
It's in the sevens, I think.
And, you know, it's I'm surprised he didn't. I'm surprised no one traded for him.
Didn't the Detroit deal fall through because there was a third team involved and the third team like bailed or something?
I don't even know.
There was something about there.
And then the Flyers said they didn't even have a trade offer for him. So who knows what the truth is?
Yeah.
A team probably would have had to retain.
But you got
to
trade him
for that. You got to trade any assets you can get as a team that's like bottoming out, like the Flyers are. You got to get something.
You got to do stuff, and that's. That makes you look pretty bad. So, yeah, I agree. They're a pretty big loser. Who else you got?
I think that Detroit, the other team, is a loser because they couldn't pick what they were trying to do, right? Yes.
It was bad.
Yeah. So, I mean, they traded Bertuzzi, and then they traded Hronek, and then I feel like they traded for somebody else, too. Like, what else do they do? Let me see the Detroit Red Wings. Moves. Luke's the one who comes prepared for these. What did we do here? What did they do on the trade deadline? So they signed Dylan Larkin, right?
Yep, which seems like signed,
they extended him.
A buyer's move.
It seemed like they were trying to go, you know, all in. And then the next day they traded, let's see, Detroit. That was the Bertuzzi trade was the next one. Detroit Red Wings trades. And
which
then,
is like...
Again, why would they try to get Van Riemsdyk after that?
Yes. They also sold Verana.
Verana, I don't, unfortunate for him for how his career is kind of gone.
Yeah, but.
But he probably didn't have much value. It'd probably just give him a chance somewhere else.
Yeah.
I don't think that he was, it's a really unfortunate turn of events for him. So they just kind of dumped him off. They didn't get anything back for him. Like, I don't even know who Dylan McLaughlin is.
No, yeah. But yeah, Detroit had no direction, basically.
Yeah.
They were directionless.
Yeah, they traded Bertuzzi. And...
I think the more surprising one is Hronek.
After signing Larkin. I mean, if you wanted to sell, Larkin was probably the... It's tough mid-season, I guess, to trade your captain, right?
Yes.
But, you know, they could have gotten
Vancouver
a lot for Larkin. Yeah, they could have gotten a lot for Larkin, right? And maybe, who knows, Larkin is a Michigan boy, right? Maybe he would have re-signed in the offseason. They probably had a good chance of that.
After getting some playoff experience, too?
Get some playoff experience, get some assets for him this year, because what's the point? I mean, Detroit is pretty close to the wild card, I think, or they were.
They're not very close. They're 3 points back of Ottawa, who's still 2 points back of Florida, who's still 3 points back of Pittsburgh.
Right. Okay. So they have a lot to cut. Yeah, they're not making the playoffs. They've lost six in a row as well.
No, yeah.
Anyway.
They have a minus 20 goal differential, too.
Like yeah, they're, not they're happening. Not, never mind. What do I know? So those are my biggest losers, I feel. The Coyotes didn't get much for Jacob Chychrun. We kind of discussed that last week, right?
After holding on for him for
two
so
years.
Long.
Yeah,
at least
two
they
years
got something.
The
at least they finally pulled Trigg.
But but like Los Angeles Kings were offering more. Los Angeles Kings offered two firsts and like one of their younger defensemen, I think it was Bjornfoot.
It's very easy for a team to come out after and say, oh, this is what we were offering, and they said no.
And I mean, I guess it's in the division. Maybe that's why they didn't want to. But...
It's probably that, too. They didn't want to see him for the next, 7 years against them constantly.
Yeah, I just feel like Arizona's always a constant L because
of who they are.
And the NHL is probably going to gift them Bedard this year. I wouldn't be surprised.
Have you heard the rumors that Atlanta's, a hot
There's
market
no way.
Talk it,
no
talking?
Way. No way.
And I'm like... It's already failed. Like, hasn't it failed twice? The Thrashers and there was a team there before,
Atlanta
was it not?
Flames, I feel.
Yeah, Atlanta Flames. It's failed Flames twice. You can't go back there. Like, that's ridiculous.
I think another loser, believe it or not, is probably Pittsburgh. because they're old. They're probably going to sneak into the playoffs. They had a huge comeback against Columbus the other day. I think they were losing like 5-0, and they came back and won 6-5. But some of the moves they make just don't make sense.
I think they're for sure playoffs. And at this point, they're just holding on for dear life. They're the oldest team. Remember that, what I just sent you?
Yeah.
Yeah,
they are. Not even.
They're the oldest team in NHL history with an average age of 30.5 or something, which is quite old considering especially considering now, as opposed to any other era where we've gone younger and younger than ever before. Like, some teams are the youngest they've ever been in history. Like,
I think it's just like how they're built. I mean, Crosby's still good and a great player.
Who knows, maybe Crosby doesn't want to deal, and Malkin, the boys don't want to deal with kids, like 18-year-olds.
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
they can't get them. They
also,
have no picks.
Also, Pittsburgh has trades everybody that they draft and all their first round picks and whatever.
Exactly.
And Pittsburgh's been for so long, they just get these random AHL guys, call them up and play them with Crosby, and then
that hasn't happened in a while. But yes,
Brian Rust, Jake Guentzel.
Jake Guentzel was always going to be a star.
Well, it's just weird that they targeted Granlund. They wanted a forward.
I know,
right? And they were actually rumored to be wanting JT Miller. But then I think this is where you tie into Vancouver being an L, because Vancouver didn't want to trade JT Miller. And we've talked so much this past year about JT Miller and his contract and not trading him last offseason, et cetera, et cetera.
That is a goofy one, because that's – if you had a team willing to take on
– 7 years of Miller?
No, because it's 8 more years.
8 years. Years of Miller.
His extension kicks in for next year. So it makes no sense that Vancouver would say no, to be honest.
Yeah, Vancouver said no because they wanted a center.
So another L.
Yeah.
Another loss.
They could have gotten assets for
Yes, and Miller. Pittsburgh loses there too because they wanted Miller. Although... if you're going balls to the walls trying to keep the dream alive that Crosby could win another cup, Miller is definitely, at this point, still a player that could help you do that.
Yeah, I know, for sure. So, I think he would fit in pretty well and not having to be a top-line center.
Obviously, right? Long-term, it fucks them, but I don't think they're too concerned at this point.
Crosby has, what, two or three more years left? Malkin, who even knows, because he's injured all the time?
Yeah.
Right?
Letang should have retired a while ago because of health concerns. But
that's it.
It's amazing that he plays.
They're stuck with Jeff Carter as their, you know, as their third line center, who kind of sucks.
Florida's a pretty big L, I would say, just because they lost last year at the deadline and they continue to just throw up L's.
Yeah, did they do anything this year? I don't think they had the assets to.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think they did anything because they don't have a first-round pick, and it's about to become Montreal's first-round pick.
And if they miss the playoffs, that's two lottery picks for Montreal to possibly have. Yeah. I've seen so many people do like the draft simulators. It's like Montreal and Florida's pick go like back to back. And Florida doesn't have a first round pick to like 2025 either. So who knows if it even gets better from here.
I mean, so we all saw this coming on the year.
We all saw this coming. The only way that they could, I mean, maybe they didn't want to risk it because, you know, they already don't have their first round pick. So why sell? Right. It doesn't make sense to try to tank for a better draft pick if you don't have it. Right. But like, they could have gotten assets for people like Duclair or Sam Bennett, even Sam Reinhart, right, if they wanted to. And, I mean, they're playing Mark Stahl in top 4 minutes. I think that tells you just as much as you need to know about the Florida Panthers. We all saw this coming because last year everything went perfectly for them.
Yep.
And this year, it's what happens when regression comes and, you know, people play. They're not the star players they were. They're average, right?
I think San Jose counts as now as well.
They didn't get much from Timo Meier.
And they needed to cash in on Carlson. They needed to do whatever it took to get Carlson off their books.
They didn't even ask him to. I think we mentioned it last week. They didn't even ask him to waive his no move clause, which means no trade was ever really close to fruition.
Yeah. You needed to hire outside money guy to say this team could hold this amount for you on the Carlson. You hold the 50. They hold another.
And maybe you take back like an expiring contract. Like, you know, maybe you someone retains 50%, then his cap hits, what, $6 million, right? Okay. That's a lot still to retain. So maybe you that's why they didn't want to do it.
Number of
you're going to have to take back, what Arizona did when they gave Ekman-Larsson to the Canucks.
They took six.
They took back like six deals for like useless players that Vancouver didn't need.
But were all expiring that year.
All expiring, yeah. So you take like a 1 year really high cap hit. I mean, who cares? San Jose wouldn't care, right? But then you trade away 6 years of Carlson.
Yep.
But they didn't do that. They didn't cash in on, because who knows, man? Carlson next year could be the player he was 2 years ago, right? Where he was pretty much borderline not playable.
He could be hurt.
He could be hurt. Yeah, exactly. A lot of other things could happen.
All right. I think we're done shitting on teams. I'm looking at
Vancouver. My biggest L, though, is probably Vancouver, if I'm thinking about it now, because they didn't cash in on anyone. Like, why keep Garland? Why keep Miller if anyone's offering you anything?
Yes.
Get rid of him. Like, you know,
say no to Pittsburgh. If there was a legit deal from Pittsburgh and stuff, they needed to say yes. They needed to say, we don't need a center right now. We should actually not want a center so we can get even better odds for Bedard. Because, like, at this point, they're so middling. It's horrendous. They're what? 14 points out of a playoff spot.
They're not
spot.
Making the playoffs, yeah.
But they're also like 20 points out of last place. So they're in no man's wasteland.
Mm-hmm.
So they're now. Anaheim did what they needed to do, traded some of their expiring contracts.
Klingberg was traded for nothing.
Arizona lost a trade. Chicago did what they needed to do. Obviously got shit on in the Kane trade, but
that's because Kane only wanted Kane to go to the Rangers.
Which is unfortunate for them. Calgary is in shitville nowhere land, but that's also because Huberto's kind of fucked them over.
Huberto. Again, who saw that coming? Pretty much everybody.
Not to this extent. Like last year at this time, he had 60 points in 40 games.
Yeah.
No, sorry.
Probably more than that.
No, in 60 games, he had 80 points. Sorry. This year, he has 60 games played and 40 points. No one could have predicted that huge of a drop-off. Like, that's insane.
It's a totally different, totally different team. I mean, maybe a new coach would help him out. I think that if Calgary misses the playoffs, I think Sutter's going.
Oh, Sutter's gone. Sutter's gone.
Sutter should have been gone.
For sure, Sutter's gone. Treliving might be gone.
Yeah, I mean, Treliving's been there for so long, and what have they done? They had a good run last year, and that was it.
Yep.
And they got smoked by the Oilers in the, second round? First round? Second round?
Second. Yeah. Nashville's middling for me in the trade deadline just because they did a good job getting rid of Ekholm, got good, decent return, but still took back Barry, which is unfortunate.
I think that they needed to take back some sort of salary, and probably Barry was the easiest one to take on.
And they can flip him next year because they won't be good. They're not going to be good for a while.
And I mean, Tyson Barry is brutal. So I think that's so switching to the teams that won, I think the Oilers actually did what they won.
They needed, they
needed a defenseman.
And they got Pajukstad.
Bjugstad. I know you liked him. He's just like a third line player to me. I mean, whatever. Probably like the Oilers need that stuff.
Player, yeah, exactly.
Oilers need that stuff. Exactly. So, I mean, I think that the huge addition though is Ekholm, because if you watch the Oilers play defensively, they're playing Nurse and CeCe like as top pair minutes, right? And yep. Barry is like brutal. Like you can't trust that guy in his own zone at all. He's awful, right? And they got a guy like Ekholm, even though he has what 3 or 4 years left on his deal at $6 million, I think it's his cap hit. That's a win for them this year because, you know, McDavid's on another level. Dreisaitl's being good again, right? Yep. And I mean, their 5-on-5 production isn't the best, but they improved defensively big time this year, which is what they needed. And I mean, in the playoffs, they're not going to play Campbell, right?
No.
Skinner's going to start a better top four defense now.
Yeah.
Bouchard moves up.
They're in trouble with their goaltending because Skinner's not cutting it either. Like I think
Skinner's okay. Yeah, Skinner's
been
okay.
But like, he needs to go on a run. Well, more like he needs to not fail in the playoffs.
And I mean, like their D breaks. Like they have a lot. Still have some defensive breakdowns. But I mean, I watched that game that they played against the Leafs. The Leafs are shit that game. I think it was last week. But Ekholm was really good, really noticeable. Huge difference for them because, you know, they were shit defensively. And their goaltending was bad. And I mean, if Skinner can play like he is now, who knows? I think the Oilers can give anyone a run for their money. I don't think anyone would take them lightly in the playoffs because we saw last year what McDavid and Dreisaitl can do alone.
Especially considering how freakish McDavid's been this year. Like he's been on an even another level than his average level.
Yeah.
Like he's been godly.
Yeah.
In comparison to what we've witnessed in our lifetime for points.
It would pain me to see the Oilers win because I want them to fail. I want McDavid. I don't like seeing McDavid succeed because of the stupid decisions that he's made as captain of the Oilers, you know, signing off on Ken Holland and stuff, you know.
And Duncan Keith. But
Duncan Keith.
At least Keith was short-lived.
Yeah, because he retired, right?
Yeah, they got rid of him quite quickly.
I think another big winner... they've been a winner all year is definitely Boston.
Yeah, Boston.
Huge, huge.
Did a
win.
Lot, right?
Bertuzzi is a great fit for them, I feel. I think he scored in his first shift with the Bruins or his first game. Orlov's been a, like Bobby Orr is what people are joking on Twitter. Got traded to Boston and became Bobby Orr. And, I mean, they're just a complete team at this point. One of the top goalies this season, Ullmark. Their top players have been there. Like, Pasternak's been really good as well.
Bergeron.
Yeah, they've won 10 in a row. I feel like this is the second time they've won 10 in a row.
Yep.
And they just look like no one can stop them. And I mean, watching the playoffs, they get to the playoffs, they're going to lose in 7 games to whoever sneaks into the second wild card spot because that's just how hockey works. But they're basically setting a points pace, right? They're going to probably break the records for points this season and wins, and they're basically unbeatable, and they still added and made their group better.
Yes.
Right.
And like quite not significantly, but still, like...
Yeah. Their third line, if healthy, would be, like, Charlie Coyle, Taylor Hall, and... I don't know who their other winger would be. Jake DeBrusk? Something like that?
Yeah.
That's one of... Like, that's ridiculous. That's most teams' second lines, at least, right?
And that's a good third line, because those guys are third-line type guys. Like, they're...
Yeah. I mean, say what you want if Taylor Hall would be healthy, but that's a really good line. Linus Ullmark's been unbeatable, like I said. Got McAvoy on the back end. They're a very complete team. And this is what I wish, like, kind of the Leafs did, is to, you know, keep adding to it. Keep adding and adding and adding. Make the team better. Even though your forwards are good, you still add more good forwards, right? And Orlov's fit in brilliantly, I feel, as well on the back end. So they made all the right moves, it seems.
Obviously, Toronto.
I don't know. Toronto is, I don't know. Toronto was good until they didn't do anything to add another forward.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, they changed 16 pieces out of their starting line. Six pieces out of their starting
line. Yeah, And I mean, their D is an issue because, like, you really want to play Luke Shen? I don't. It's good for the vibes. It's good for the memories, I guess. But I mean,
but they don't really have to play Luke Shen.
Like, they don't.
He could be their sixth guy. Play like, especially once they get to the playoffs, he can play like
your third pair of minutes. It just doesn't make sense.
Like that 9 minutes a game.
Yeah, and that doesn't make sense. Okay. Like, and they're scratching Liljegren. It just doesn't make
sense.
That makes
no sense.
Like,
those are coaching decisions, though.
Like how their roster is built up right now, though, doesn't make sense. And it didn't make sense last week. And keeping that first round pick, unless they're probably going to trade it in the summer anyway. I'd be shocked if they kept it and drafted with probably what's going to be the 32nd overall pick. They should have flipped that this year. I don't know why they didn't get a forward this year, because you really needed it. And instead, they kept it, and it just doesn't. The roster makes no sense. But you know what? Who cares? I don't know who else you would consider a winner, but maybe New Jersey, I think, is a winner for that, simply for the Meyer trade.
New Jersey,
did
what they needed to do, and they're good. Like, the Meyer trade is a future trade. Like, they're good for
a while. They didn't sign an extension yet, though.
Not yet. Not yet.
They might. He's still RFA.
Yeah.
But
landing on it.
I feel like the Devils also are how they're built, though, is like they have some really, really good young pieces, right? And still have really good pieces coming up, like Luke Hughes and you know, I don't know. They didn't give them up for this improvement, so I think that's a win for them as well.
I think New York Rangers win.
Kane hasn't been great.
Well, they got him for nothing, though. Like, let's be honest here. And if you have the ability to get him for nothing, you might as well, right? Like,
right.
So, and the Tarasenko trade, like, Tarasenko's been decent, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the year. Like, it's a crapshoot between them and the Devils.
That's what's crazy, is that one's going to be out in the first round.
Yes, and New York still has the ability to still be good for a while, even with these minor, like, major moves, but kind of minor assets given up for them.
Yeah, for sure.
So they're a winner just based on virtue of being New York, because Kane was the...
Yeah, Kane just wanted to go there.
Carolina did some minor moves. I think they
got Gostisbehere.
They got Gostisbehere, but did they need Gostisbehere? Was that the type of piece they needed?
I don't know. I feel like I feel like he's good offensively, that you just don't need to worry about him in his own zone.
Yeah, I guess they didn't need to do very much. Like, their biggest thing is goaltending.
Yeah.
Puljujärvi is a good shot in the dark, and they gave up, like, nothing to get it. So that's a good shot in the dark, and you put him back with Aho
if for sure. He
plays with Aho. So they're a winner just based on being
where they are. But Frederik Andersen in the playoffs, yikes.
Tampa, I don't like that move. I don't like people justifying that move.
Yeah, we talked about it last week.
I wouldn't say they're a loser or a winner. They're nothing at this point. Like, they went to the Stanley Cup final 3 years in a row. They can fuck off. Like,
and they lost 5 in a row after the deadline anyway.
Yes. Right. Yes, they have. Minnesota, I like the Klingberg move. You probably hate it.
Yes.
But that's the type of thing they need, because Minnesota's always been a very defensive team, and they still are this year. Yes, they're very...
Philip Gustafson's been good, too.
They're a very defensive team. So Klingberg, if you're putting him on as your power play merchant, which... he would help their power play, because they don't really have offensive defenseman. Dumba was always supposed to be that guy, and he never truly turned into a number one offensive defenseman. Mm-hmm. So that move alone is good. I think they did one other thing. What was the one other thing? Oh, they added Sundqvist, which is not much.
Whatever.
And yeah. Nyquist, too.
Which Nyquist is going to sit on long-term injured reserve for the rest of the season.
And then play in the playoffs, hopefully. Yeah. For them.
They got it for nothing.
They have a battle ahead of them.
Yeah.
But they could still win the division.
Yeah, the West is so open that it's...
Yes.
Anybody wins five games.
That's the thing. Like, Minnesota did what they needed to do to stay competitive in that division. And Colorado, what was that?
Who they had? Eller they got.
Eller, was that it?
I think, yeah, and I think that there's an issue now because I saw news that Landeskog might not come back for the regular season.
Yes, I've heard that. Which is...
He comes back for the playoffs.
If he comes back for the playoffs, it should be okay. They should be fine. They should be okay.
But they didn't. Doesn't look like they did much else.
No.
Jack Johnson they picked up for whatever reason. Brought him back, ran it back last year.
Again, from last year. I don't think they needed to do that much. Like, the West is just so much.
They have more... a good team. They were just injured for a lot of the year. And now that they're at full speed, they're probably going to be, closer to it at least. Makar just came back. And
I actually want to add to the losers. I want to add Vegas because I don't think Vegas really did anything.
They got Jonathan Quick.
Oh, they got Jonathan Quick. Did they need Jonathan Quick?
They needed a goalie because Leonard hasn't been there. They got Teddy Bluger as well. I think that's a good one.
Okay. They can be fine. They're kind of getting screwed by injuries because, Stone's out again. Eichel has been okay. He hasn't been what he's billed like a superstar. Mm-hmm. But maybe he'll never be a superstar again.
Eichel started off really well. It's crazy kind of what happened. But
yeah, he started off real well. Playing with Stone, though, like, that's the thing, right? Like, without Stone, he's been...
Right.
Okay, so I think that's pretty much all the winners or losers.
Oh, after this, who do you think is winning the Stanley Cup? That's it, and we'll do that, and then we'll call it a night, because we'll make it a short episode.
Yeah. After the trade deadline, purely based on the trade deadline...
And how teams are stacked up right now.
I still think Boston.
Yeah. I was going to say that too. I wish I went first because they're just unbeatable, but I can see this happening. Them losing in the first round to fucking whatever team, whatever team sneaks in, losing seven games in a random to some random team.
Although
no business being there.
Is this the type of year where the best team is the best team the whole time?
It could be, but you've seen this before. I think it was like Washington, Washington being so dominant for so many years, and then losing in the first or second round, and then when the year that everyone wrote them off is the year they won.
Yes, right? But the difference between them and Boston is Boston's main core has won, right? Like those boys.
That's true. Well, not for a while. Not 2011 for a while. Was Boston,
but they remember, of course.
There's like two players who would remember Bergeron and Marchand. Was Marchand in the playing then?
Yeah, maybe. Marchand was. But he wasn't a superstar.
He wasn't. No. It's like Bergeron knows how to win. I guess that's it. Char is not there anymore. Krejci.
Krejci was there. I heard there was talk. I'm not sure if it was legit talk or just someone like spitballing it. That Lucic was rumored for Boston.
That would be good. Lucic can't even skate. Lucic,
I know, he wouldn't even make their lineup. Feel like he would just be like
just this healthy scratch. He's the guy, you know, when they come out of the healthy scratches, come out at the end of the game, and when the Stanley Cup's being awarded, and they come out and they just
carry
it around, the random bums who are healthy scratches. Put their equipment on. That would be Lucic. Yeah.
Who's our backup option?
Yeah. So second option. I'll choose a team from the West. I hate to say it, but I feel like the Oilers could very well go on a run. And
yeah.
I don't even know if Boston can stop McDavid at full speed.
Right? I was going to say Edmonton too.
If you look at MoneyPuck, they have the best odds. Even though like 5-on-5, Edmonton's still kind of scoring wise, but go on the power play, it's like basically a sure goal coming, and no one can stop McDavid. No one can stop Draisaitl.
My biggest concern with Edmonton is
their D and goalie for sure.
Their goalie, their goalie for most part, and it's a pretty big concern.
it would be. Skinner's a young goalie, doesn't really much history. He's been pretty good this season, but he's had his moments where he hasn't been. And I mean, if he gets hurt, you got Campbell who can't stop anything.
Like, they have the most goals for in the league by a decent amount, but their goal differential is like average for playoff teams.
Yeah.
Which is not good. Like, that's showing, like, their goals for is like 20 better than Boston's. Okay. But Boston's goal differential is 105, and the Oilers' goal differential is 33.
And I think that's pretty bad. Just a difference that's not of having. Good. Hey, McDavid has 124 points. Let's not forget that, right?
Yes. Yes. That's really not good. That's not a good sign, because you need, like, goaltending is the X factor always in the playoffs.
For sure.
The Conn Smythe normally goes to a forward, because they score like big goals in the big moments, but the fucking goalies.
Someone should look at the stats of like goalies in the playoffs. Like, I feel like any cup winning goalie hasn't had a save percentage below like 915, 920 even. You need like 920 goaltending to be able to go all the way. Anyway, folks, with that, we'll call it here.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Next week, we will not be here because Luke's going away and can't edit a podcast. We don't even know where Eric is. So
that's why we had to do this week.
We'll see you in 2 weeks.
See ya.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning into this week's episode. We love and appreciate each listener that sticks around to the end. With that comes reminders to leave a review, press follow on those streaming platforms, and make sure to head over to Instagram to follow Talking Hockey. We're on the road to 30K, and we can't wait to continue to build our audience. Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin signing off. We'll see you all next week.